Welcome to the big interview on today's edition of Money Life. And joining me now, Mary Ellen Stanek. She is co-chief investment officer at Baird Advisors and the president of the Baird Funds. If you want to learn more, BairdFunds.com and RWBaird.com. Mary Ellen Stanek, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Thank you, Chuck. Always great to be together.
And it's particularly good at this time of year because, well, we get your outlook. And got to say, if you and I had talked 2 years ago, and by the way, we did, we were looking at an interest rate environment that could not be more different than what we've got today. And the phrase I've been using throughout 2023 is that, hey, if you're a fixed income investor, fixed income has been fixed. It's giving you returns. But
yeah, we say bonds are back, baby.
Okay. But now the Fed's just told us rate cuts are coming. That means yields. I mean, yields already started to fall a little bit. So bonds are back. But the confusion that people have in falling rate environments, that's coming back too, right? So what's your outlook for the year ahead? And obviously, if we're going to get to rate cuts, how big, how broad, what's your expectation?
So Chuck, you and I have had many, many conversations over lots of years. And as you know, in terms of how we approach investing in the markets, but particularly the fixed income markets, is we really take the long view and have product line that has different levels of risk or duration. And then we stay interest rate neutral to the portfolio's benchmark. And we do it that way because we believe in the efficiency of the bond market itself, that it will discount appropriately risk and potential opportunity or return, expected return. And that trying to outguess the short-term direction of interest rates and move duration or average maturity around is really the fool's game. And it's very difficult to get those decisions right in the short run, and even more difficult to get them consistently right and then compound that consistency. So to answer your direct question, we've had a couple of wild years, really. If you look at the end of 2021, we were at very low nominal interest rates across the board and yields on portfolios. And then the Fed unleashed the most aggressive, quickest, urgent tightening campaign really in modern history. And so while painful to have that kind of readjustment in yields, yields marched up dramatically. And so up until really the fall of this year, we sat with quite high nominal rates. We are off the highs, but still significantly higher than they were. And there was much better value in the bond market, both relative to the expected climate, and that would include the economy, expected inflation rates, but also vis-a-vis and relative to other asset classes. So we are in a different place today. And we can talk about as we approach 2024, you know, one of the big, when you look at the economy, one of the big questions is, can the Fed and have they been able to really do what most thought they could not do and engineer a soft landing? So far, it's looking like, you know, pretty good. It's been pretty good, better than expected. But as they go to land the plane, so to speak, you know, keep your seatbelts on, put the shoulder harness on, and maybe even you foam the runway a bit, because there will continue to be a lot of volatility.
Because of what you talked about, where you're not trying to play games and do too much when it comes to timing the market and maturities. The question I've been asking some others is, hey, if we've started to see cuts get priced in, is it too late to be lengthening maturities? I know what the answer has to be for you. You've just said it's not a case of we're going to go play games and try to get it right. But for somebody who feels that like, wait, hold it, I should have been doing this a little while ago, why would you say, don't worry about it, it's just not that big a deal, we're going to see the maturities play out?
So, and we've been saying this really all year, is that, you know, when you get these moments, and they're more than moments because the inverted yield curve is getting long in the tooth in terms of by historical averages. And by the inversion, I mean short-term interest rates are higher than intermediate and long-term interest rates. And when you get into those environments, you know, there's a tendency that there's a bit of a free lunch. And so investors will go park their investments very short and capture that higher yield. And what we've been cautioning people is, you know, be careful about putting all the eggs in that basket, because inversions don't last, you know, indefinitely. And these intermediate and longer term rates are more compelling. And so systematically start moving out the curve. And again, going to that duration decision, you know, what's the purpose for these assets? What's your time horizon? What's your risk tolerance? All those things that investors need to discern as they pick how far out they go. But we've been encouraging people to do that and do that. And that what we often see is when people can do that in a more systematic way, and just average that in into, say, somebody's going from a lot of T-bills out to an intermediate portfolio, which would be equivalent to the call it a 5 or 6 year bond, a 4 year duration. You know, it allows you to systematically or move that cash out over, call it 3, 4, 5 moves and average that in. And it allows people, you may miss the top and probably will miss the top, but in the end, you'll sleep better at night in terms of, you know, not having to big, because when people feel like they have to make one big rate call, you know, usually they end up making it. And even if they got the timing on the first call right, they don't go back the other way. And it's this constant decision about where to be and trying to add value by moving duration around. We just don't think you can consistently add value that way. So we stay duration neutral and spend our time and attention on the things that we think there's a much higher probability of getting right and added value on, and that against the capital market benchmark. And that's yield curve positioning, sector allocation, and particularly individual security selection and managing liquidity in the portfolio. We do it a lot, you know, that way. That's where we spend our time and attention disproportionately. We do have macro views in terms of the economy, what the Fed's likely to do, fiscal policy outlook, the curve, you know, general level of rates, spreads, but that really informs our risk posture overall. But it's those bottom up building blocks. You know, we're sitting here late in the year, so it's beyond the baseball season. But the analogy that works really well to describe the way we think about managing fixed income money and how investors ought to approach the bond market is we try to hit a lot of singles. You know, we'll take a walk. If it gets us on base, we get hit by a pitch, it gets us on base, and we run the bases. We do not try to hit home runs, because the big home run hitters usually have very high strikeout rates too. And that's, you know, that's really not particularly compelling for bond investors. It's really you own bonds for consistency, predictability, to lower overall volatility, and cash flow, right? The liquidity and cash flow that investors need, depending again on the purpose of the asset. So that's what we spend our time and attention. And emotionally, as investors, it's very freeing, because we're able to stay really laser-like focused on, for every unit of risk we're taking, are we being paid to take that risk?
All that said, that risk that you're talking about, you know, here we are talking about the kind of landing that we might see for the economy. But what we haven't seen that we would have expected to see during this rate cycle was some sort of an increase in defaults. You wind up seeing rates go up as much as they did, and literally you got to pay the piper. And if you can't afford to pay the piper, there's your defaults. We have not seen a wave of defaults. Is one coming? And are there risks right now that you think are going to come to roost in asset classes like corporates or munis or what have you, where, yeah, we haven't seen defaults, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to happen?
Of course not. You know, and you can't make blanket statements like that. But going into this cycle, what we think a lot of people got wrong, we kept saying, you know, look at the consumer. The consumer's in pretty good shape when you look at the fundamentals. A lot of support coming post-pandemic from the federal government in particular. You know, you also delayed student loan repayments. There were a number of things. So the balance sheets, if you will, for individuals were in pretty good shape. Corporate balance sheets, we felt, were in very good shape. And while earnings were likely to earnings growth rates were likely to decline, you know, the quality was still there and that you would still continue to have. And the thing that was really interesting was when interest rates were so low, corporations issued a lot of debt and they termed out their debt. So they moved the average maturity out longer and locked in those lower interest rates. So very, very positive and constructive. So corporate fundamentals were actually quite strong. You mentioned municipals. They were actually quite strong. Again, there was a lot of money that flowed to the state and local governments, did a very good job pleading with the federal government that they needed support coming out of the pandemic. And so they were flush with some pretty good cash and fundamentally in pretty good shape. So when you look at all the big sectors, it was a lot better than people expected. So then the question is, what's the overall spread or to entice you to take those risks? And that, you know, that's a constant decision. But in terms of defaults, you're right. They've been actually very, very low. We have not seen a recession. We've seen a slowing in growth. But right now we're in that, you know, 2023 is going to go in the history books with probably real GDP in that, you know, 2.5, 2.75 range. Not bad. It's likely to be lower in 2024. I know we're talking about 2024 outlook and certainly likely to be lower and more in that between 1% and 2%.
So if you're looking at that kind of shrinkage in growth and you're looking at the yield curve inversion, which you pointed out is long in the tooth. Well, long in the tooth on the yield curve inversion is also the time when you would expect the recession to hit home. So can we avoid, even if we're seeing the yield curve presumably about to uninvert or disinvert or whatever the proper term is, do we wind up avoiding the recession that the yield curve has always portended, or is that coming still?
I don't know that if we can completely avoid a recession, but it appears that we are going to avoid a significant downturn and that you'll have potentially a period of slower growth. You look, Chuck, at long-term trends and really real GDP trends are more like a 2% per annum. And so we've come back closer to trend line in here. And again, investors get antsy and they want to try to see more growth, bigger growth rates. And actually, we've come back to trend. So what do investors do here, bond investors do? Well, we're lower than we were end of October, around Halloween, we were hitting the highs. The 10-year treasury, you know, over 5% today, we're about 100 basis points lower, 1 percentage point lower on the 10-year and the 30-year. So we've had quite a rally in this back part of the year, but we're still sitting at reasonably attractive yields. While they might have run a little fast and furious and maybe a little too far in the short run, markets often will do that. They'll overshoot a bit. There's still, when you look at economic growth, the outlook for inflation appears to be slowing as well, that there's still reasonable value for bond investors.
Internationally, is there much reason to diversify? I mean, if the Fed has gotten it right, well, the rest of the world's been facing the same problems. The rest of the world's central bankers may have at some points been ahead, but usually have been behind the Fed. So is keep your income and keep your cash close to home or diversify a little further?
Yeah, that is more our message. You know, there's been so many people who, you know, will historically talk about the benefits of the diversification and global, any kind of global securities and effectively getting the benefit of currency diversification, which is what it is. If you would use bonds denominated in foreign currencies, and, you know, for most investors, again, Is that an asset class that your liabilities, your reason for investing is dollar denominated typically for most investors? And so do you really want to put effectively a currency bet into the portfolio? And then globally, you look at growth rates, and if anything, you know, while the U.S. has its challenges, the U.S. continues to be that bright light in the world in terms of economic diversity and growth. And it appears that our Fed has done a good job in this part of the cycle. Again, earlier comments about keep the seatbelt on, because, you know, this will not be a straight line. It will most likely not be smooth and easy. Right now, the Fed's most recent statements are expecting somewhere like three 25 basis point rate cuts in 2024, 75 basis points. But we still believe the Fed will try to go slower here. The pain of that spike up in inflation, and particularly inflationary expectations, it was so difficult and so painful for everybody, whether you're an individual or a pension plan or a company. That expectation to have a steady, predictable inflation rate, which allows any capital market participant to be able to make decisions in terms of, am I getting paid on a real basis, inflation-adjusted basis, to take that risk? Or if you're a company, does that pay for me to do this project right now on a real basis? So those are the kinds of decisions that I think people continue to sort through. And again, for most investors, we still think there's reasonable value. Now, I mentioned how fast the bond market had, particularly longer treasury yields, have moved. We've seen spreads come in. That additional yield that you're being paid to invest in corporates, mortgage-backed securities, asset-backed securities, and we've seen those spreads come in and move pretty quickly too. So we're cautiously optimistic in the short run. We're very disciplined about, you know, be careful, because we're at a point also in the year. This happens every calendar year. As you get late in the year, liquidity isn't as robust. So ironically, what has happened late this year is there have been some major changes in expectations, whether it be moves by the Fed, some announcements by the Fed, some statements by the Fed, but also some reported economic information as well as inflation information. And there are a lot of investors who thought they could time this and were on the wrong side of all of this. So now they're trying to quickly get back into a market that is thin in terms of liquidity and ability to trade. So probably these moves are getting a little more exaggerated in here, which might also be a reason why the markets move so fast and furious in such a short period of time. So, you know, still decent value. Just be ready for the volatility. While volatility is tough to live through, the volatility is the reason you actually create the opportunities for people like us to come in. And as others are selling, they're not worried about those last few basis points, you know, on a corporate bond or mortgage-backed security or CMBS or ABS. We are, because that's where we live. And it allows us to come in and capture that and build portfolios. You've heard us talk about being all-weather managers, of really trying to, and that's the tricky part for investors. To, you know, today while I'm doing this interview, it's a bright, beautiful, sunny day in December, and going to be a very kind of warm day for December in Milwaukee, which is where we're based. But the weather can change dramatically, and we've got to be able to be ready as investors, have those bumper pads on the portfolios to be able to do well for our investors when the sun's shining. But if the clouds roll in and the wind picks up and it comes off the lake pretty quickly, you know, we're ready for that too. So that would be our message for investors. Don't get carried away with current trends or headlines, and stay very focused on what you're trying to do and that long-term balance between appropriate risk versus a potential return.
I believe that message is enjoy the ride, wear the seatbelt. I was going to ask you about how many Fed cuts you thought we'd get, but you actually answered it in that last question. And besides, I've come to the end of our time and I've enjoyed the ride, and I always do. Mary Ellen, thanks for joining me. Have a happy new year. We will, of course, talk about this again down the line.
Great. Thanks so much, Chuck. Happy new year to you.
That's Mary Ellen Stanek. She is the president of the Baird Funds. BairdFunds.com if you're looking for more information. On Twitter at RW Baird. She is co-chief investment officer at Baird Advisors, which is online at RWBaird.com as well. We'll be right back with more of Money Line. Stay tuned.